You're listening to Pastor J.C. Heiden's message, Rebuilding Our Neighborhood and City, part of the Love Your Neighborhood series at Eastbrook Church. We welcome you to join us for our weekend worship services on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8, 9:30, and 11. For more information and additional resources, please visit eastbrook.org.
This morning, we're going to be continuing our series entitled Love Your Neighborhood, and we're going to be jumping into the story of Nehemiah in the Old Testament, and this is a story of how God uses his people to rebuild a broken city. So today, I want us to think on a few different levels here. First of all, we're going to talk about the big city of Milwaukee. So if you open up a map or if you click onto Google Maps and type in Milwaukee, the whole city of Milwaukee comes up. And so today, I want to focus on the big picture of Milwaukee. And then in addition to that, I also want to click one more time, zoom in, and talk about the neighborhood right around Eastbrook Church. So big city of Milwaukee and then neighborhood right around Eastbrook Church. That's where we're going this morning. And then if you come back after the big block bash, we're going to meet again together and move over and zoom in on your neighborhood. What's the area that you live in? Who are the people that you have a chance to influence that nobody else from Eastbrook Church gets a chance to influence? And so next time, we're going to talk about your neighborhood. So just let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Ask him to join us and guide us as we open up his word this morning. Father, we come before you one more time, and we just ask that you would join us. Father, would you open up your word to us this morning, and would you show us where you want to go? Father, would you help us to love our neighborhood, help us to love our city, so that you might be glorified in Milwaukee? Father, we ask that your kingdom would come, and your will would be done in Milwaukee as it is in heaven. Lord, we trust you to lead us and show us our part to play in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, when I was thinking about Nehemiah and how God used him to rebuild his city in the process of restoration, I remembered when I was back in high school and our family had just moved into our house. And this was a new house for us, and we were just getting used to it, had just got done unpacking, and we were finally settled in, watching TV one night, and we begin to hear thunder in the distance. And a huge storm moves in, and as we were watching TV, of course, they interrupt our favorite show with the urgent weather bulletin, and they flash the radar up there, and it starts to downpour all around us. And eventually they came on and said, you know, there's a tornado warning, some of those things that they always think there's a tornado out there, but there almost never is. And so we're like, okay, well, we better go into the basement just to be sure, make mom happy and all that stuff. And so we're hanging out in the basement, and we start to notice water leaking in through a crack in the window. And this is one of the problems about moving into new houses. A lot of times you don't know the problems that houses have until you buy it and move in. And this is what we found out with this house. And so the window was leaking, the rain was pouring in, and the water started to pour in. At first a trickle, and then it just started to flood in. And so we start to get buckets and towels and try and sop up the mess. And so what we're doing is filling up the buckets that's coming in from the crack in the window, dumping those in the sump pump bucket. Maybe some of you guys have those in your house. And the sump pump pumps all the water that's around the foundation out into the street. And that runs on electricity. And so we're good. We're like keeping up and we're bailing out our house and all this stuff and moving the water out. And then wouldn't you know it, of course, the power goes out. And then the sump pump breaks. And so now our solution, dumping the water into the sump pump, is no longer effective. So the water rises and we just felt like we're living in the days of Noah, and it comes up to our ankles. And we knew that the situation was hopeless and done when my brother says, you know what? Let's just move the stuff out of the basement and make it a swimming pool. And isn't that how it goes sometimes? You know, sometimes it doesn't take long for a situation that's really way outside of our control to feel overwhelming. And it's so easy to lose hope in circumstances that you feel like you don't have control over, and you don't have the right equipment, you don't have the right resources, and the problem just seems too big for you to fix. And that's exactly the situation we find as we open up the book of Nehemiah this morning. You see, we meet Nehemiah and God's people in the city of Jerusalem. And the city of Jerusalem was a city that had been devastated, not just by one invasion, but by two invasions from huge nation states. And so the Empire of Babylon, located in modern-day Iraq, first came through and conquered Jerusalem and devastated the city. And then shortly later, the Empire of Persia overthrew the Babylonians, and they came through the city of Jerusalem and devastated it a second time. And so in the period of just a few short years, the city of Jerusalem had been devastated twice. The city was in shambles, and their defensive wall was totally broken down. And so there was no security in the city, and eventually the people moved back in and started to rebuild. But they rebuilt their houses, they rebuilt the temple, but they just couldn't get it together enough to rebuild the defensive wall. And that's where we meet the people of God in the city of Jerusalem. They'd lost hope. They were discouraged, and they felt like the situation was totally outside of their control to fix. But here's the good news in our passage today, that God begins to move in the hearts of his people, and he begins to bring the right people and the right resources at the right time together, and he begins to lead his people to rebuild the walls, to rebuild the city that he calls them to do. And so this morning, we think about the fact that when God's people commit to follow him with everything they've got, then neighborhoods and even entire cities can be transformed and restored for his glory. Let me just say that again. When God's people commit to follow him with everything they've got, then neighborhoods and even entire cities can be transformed and restored for God's glory. So as we think about that this morning, I want us not only to think about Jerusalem and this ancient city, I want us also to think about Milwaukee and what is your role to play in our city. So let's open up our Bibles, turn to Nehemiah chapter 1, and let's look at verse 1 and see what Nehemiah does here. So open your Bible to Nehemiah 1, verse 1. What happens here is that Nehemiah gets the report about the city of Jerusalem. Now at this point, Nehemiah is miles and miles away in the capital city of Persia, and he's a cupbearer for the king. So I've got my cup with me. Nehemiah's job was basically kind of similar to the role of some of the Secret Service members today, maybe. That's kind of a quasi-good analogy, because what Nehemiah would do is sample all the king's food and make sure that nobody was trying to take his life by poisoning his food. So this was a position of influence. This was a position of power. He had a good relationship with the king. And so Nehemiah's brother actually had been sent on a delegation to investigate the status of the city of Jerusalem and report back to the king. So in verse 1, Nehemiah's brother comes back and he gives the report, and he says, I questioned my brother about the Jewish remnant in Jerusalem and about the city. And in verse 3, he says, they said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province, and they are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. And Nehemiah says, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. You see, the first thing Nehemiah realizes is that to love his neighborhood and city, he has to turn to the Lord. So Nehemiah gets the trusted report from his brother. He knows his brother is not making this up, and Nehemiah is in a state of shock. This is not the news that he was hoping to hear about his hometown. And so let's jump into their shoes this morning. How would you feel if you're away on a trip for months and one of your neighbors maybe brings a report back? You're like, hey, how's the house doing? How's the neighborhood doing? And he's like, well, you know, everything's going fine, but somebody broke all the windows of your house and they burned the door with fire. But other than that, your house is great, but the windows are broken and the door was burned up with fire. And this must be something similar to how Nehemiah felt. And just outraged, like, when did that happen? How did that happen? And what are we going to do about this? And so really expand that. What if it was not just your house, but also all the houses on the block? Or what if someone had done that to every house in your zip code? That begins to get at the scale of the situation back in the city of Jerusalem. They said, it's not supposed to be like this. And so that's the state of the city of Jerusalem in this passage. But I want to bring this a little bit closer to home and say, what is the report about the city of Milwaukee? And so picture, if you will, I want to talk about what are some of your favorite things about the city of Milwaukee. So just maybe take a moment and picture some of the things that you love about this city, some of the best times that you've had in the city of Milwaukee. And bring those to mind, and then we're going to talk about those in just a second. So take 2 seconds, get a few images in your head. Okay, you got your images? So here's my image, sitting at the beach on Lake Michigan on a great summer day. The breeze is blowing. I love going to the lake and just relaxing. I love the festivals by Lake Michigan in the summer. I love cheese and brats, and Milwaukee is a great city to live in if you love to eat, okay? Can we all agree on that? State Fair, cream puffs, we've got the Brewers, we've got the Bucks, and they need a little bit of work right now, but it's okay because we still got the Packers up north and so many great things to do. We've got, you know, we get to see all four seasons around here with the weather, and all of us survived the winter, and we can enjoy the summer, and so praise the Lord for that. And, you know, I love the city of Milwaukee. This is an amazing place to live. But if we're honest with ourselves, we also know that the report about the city of Milwaukee is also not good sometimes. The truth is, this is a broken city. The reality on the ground is that Milwaukee struggles with issues of poverty, violent crime, human trafficking. We've got an unemployment rate that is just too high among some of our young men in the city. And we've got residential segregation, we've got disparities in education, and we've got high incarceration rates. And all of these things just want to make us cry out, Lord God, it's not supposed to be like this. Heaven help us. And sometimes as we watch the news, we think the problems are too big. What are we going to do? And we get overwhelmed, just like the people in Jerusalem were overwhelmed. It's outrageous. It's unacceptable. And we feel like we don't know what to do. But here's the good news that God shows us in this passage this morning is that God is in the business of renewal and restoration. And he loves to see broken things restored. It's his business. It's his specialty. And you know, TV producers, even in our day, have picked up on the fact that people love stories about seeing restoration and renewal. It's powerful. One of my favorite shows used to be the show called Extreme Home Makeover. And maybe some of you guys will remember that story or that show. And what would happen is they would take a family who was going through difficult times and also had a broken down house. They would send the family out on vacation. They would come in with all kinds of workers and they would totally restore and rebuild their house. And then when the family came back a week later, they would move a big bus in front of the house and they would get the whole neighborhood around and everybody would be cheering and everybody would say, move that bus. And then the bus would move away. They would see their restored home and the people would just break out in cheers. And people would, oftentimes the family would just break down in tears. And they were so overwhelmed because it's so amazing to get a picture of things that are rebuilt and restored and renewed in our lives. You see, it's amazing when a family finds new life and new hope. And the cool thing is that God wants us to join him in this amazing work of renewal in our neighborhoods and in our city. You see, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ said to all of us, you know, as the Father sent me, so now I am sending you. And so the question now remains, what are we going to do about the situation in Milwaukee? Well, let's get back into the text and look at what Nehemiah did about his city. How did he feel? Well, first of all, Nehemiah was heartbroken but hopeful because of our great God. And that's what I would say we have to be today as well. We're heartbroken about the problems in our city, but we're hopeful because of our great God. You see, Nehemiah knew the bad news that the city was riddled with problems, so riddled with problems he didn't even know where to begin. But he was hopeful because the good news is that we worship the God of the universe who loves and cares about this city, and he's got a plan. And he wants to use us to accomplish that plan. And so Nehemiah turned to God. Eventually, we all know the end of the story where Nehemiah goes and goes to the king, requests the help that he needs, and then he turns to the Lord and goes and does the work. So Nehemiah gets engaged. But take a moment to think about what would you do, and what were some of the things that you would think about if you felt called to leave the place where you were, go thousands of miles away, and fix a broken city? What must Nehemiah have been thinking and wrestling with? The text tells us that Nehemiah actually took 2 or 3 months and prayed about this before he went to the king to do something about it, and I'm sure he wrestled with issues. So what are some of the issues you wrestle with as you think about getting involved in changing our city and our neighborhood? What are some of the issues that you struggle with? Think about that for a second. Well, I think Nehemiah would have said, you know what? It would have been very tempting for him to deny the problem, to say, you know what? It just can't be that bad. I'm sure that's an exaggerated report. Or maybe Nehemiah could have said, you know what? I just live too far away to really get involved. Or maybe Nehemiah thought about saying, well, you know what? I don't want to have to deal with the problems of people who live in a broken city. Nehemiah could have said, you know what? People have been trying to fix that city for years and nothing has worked. That city is hopeless. Nehemiah could have stepped back and said, you know what? The bottom line is, it's just not my problem. You see, Nehemiah didn't have to go. He didn't have to get involved, but God took a hold of his heart and led him into action. Nehemiah rejected those responses because he knew that God was calling him to engage. And you see, if we are really concerned about the city of Milwaukee, if we really want to see God move in our city in significant ways, in like the ways that he moved in Jerusalem during Nehemiah's time, then we can't afford those responses either. See, Nehemiah has the right response. He turns to the Lord with a whole heart and he prays to God for help. Let's look at Nehemiah's response in verse 5. He says, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keeps his commandments. Father, listen to my prayers. He says, I confess the sins of we Israelites, including myself and my father's family. The sins we have committed against you, we have acted very wickedly towards you, and we have not obeyed your commands and your laws. See, Nehemiah says, I don't know what to do. It's overwhelming just to think about, but I believe we serve a mighty God, and he knows exactly what to do. So Nehemiah gets on his knees. He confesses his sin. He confesses the sins of the nations, or the sins of his nation, and he confesses the sins of previous generations. You know, Nehemiah is strong enough to admit that, you know what, I might not have created these problems, but because the ramifications are still with us in our day and in our time, we are just as responsible for these problems as if we did create them. So Nehemiah confesses to the Lord. He says, I'm a part of that history. And you know what? He says, if we ignore these things in our generation, on our watch, then the problem will just compound itself further. And we just can't let that happen. So Nehemiah says, Father, forgive us. Let's turn over a new page. Let's start praying that God will show up in our city. And that's exactly what Nehemiah does. And you know what? That's exactly what we need to do as well. Turn to the Lord, confess the sins of previous generations and say, Lord, we might not have been involved in creating that, but we want to turn over a new page with you in our neighborhoods and in our city. Nehemiah has the right response. He gets on his knees. He confesses his sin. He says, Lord, we need a clean slate. And then he seeks God's plan and moves forward to take action. See, loving our neighborhood and city means moving to take calculated, strategic action. So after 3 or 4 months of prayer, Nehemiah takes the responsibility and he puts it all on the line. He approaches the king, his boss, and he says, you know what? We need to do something about this. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever had a time when you had to approach your boss with a problem or a difficult situation, but think about what that feels like. You maybe get that knot in the pit of your stomach, and what is he going to say? What is he going to do? And that must have been something like what Nehemiah was feeling. But the difference between us and Nehemiah is that the kings in those days, if they didn't like what you had to say, they could kind of chop your head off. And so that's a little bit of a difference between us and them. And so Nehemiah, he put his life on the line. He certainly put his job on the line to go and request help from the king. And not only that, he was asking for a lot of money and resources that he needed to go and rebuild the walls. So let's look at how this encounter goes with Nehemiah and the king. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. It says, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought before the king, I gave it to the king, and I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." And Nehemiah must have been thinking, well, I'm also afraid you're going to chop my head off, so that's not good. But it says, Nehemiah was very much afraid. And he said to the king, "Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" So the king said to me, "What is it you want?" And then I prayed to the God of heaven. That's interesting. Even in the midst of that conversation, Nehemiah is praying to the Lord. And the king answered him and said, "You know what? Go and do it." So the king sent me to the city of Judah so that I could rebuild it. And then he asks for the supplies that he needs. He asks for the provision he needs. And he asks even for the protection that he needs. And so in verse 8, I love this. It says, "And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my requests." And that's not an expected response. That's not what Nehemiah expected the king to say. And so not only does Nehemiah walk away from that conversation with his head still squarely attached to his shoulders, he also walks away with the finances and the provision and the protection that he needed to get the job done. You see, Nehemiah turns to God before he seeks the solutions of man. And Nehemiah learns that when we get on the same page with God, the doors begin to open for God's work to be done. Let me just say that again, because I think it's so awesome. When we get on the same page with God, the doors begin to open up for God's work to be done. And Nehemiah began to take calculated action to reach his city. He did his homework. He goes before the king with a detailed plan, and he goes about the work that God set for him to do. Now, what's our plan moving back to Milwaukee and our neighborhood and our city? What's our strategy at Eastbrook for reaching our neighborhood and city? Well, I think about it in three different ways. This is kind of an informal strategy that we have. First of all, we've got to focus on our neighborhood right around Eastbrook Church. God has placed us here and God has called us here. We've got to reach out and become part of this neighborhood that God has placed us. So we've got to have a local impact and partner together with our neighbors right around us, spiritually, socially, and economically, for the well-being of our local neighborhood through long-term friendships. We've got to be a key part of this community, and I believe that's our first calling. But secondly, as a church in the city of Milwaukee, with all the things we just talked about Milwaukee struggles with, we've got to partner on big city issues because there are so many great needs in our city. And so that looks like doing things like a book drive for Milwaukee Working, or partnering with an organization like Exploit No More, which is going after the issue of human trafficking, and so many other organizations that we're partnering with, ministries we're partnering with that are trying to work on big city issues, God-sized issues that affect all of us in the city of Milwaukee. So local impact right around our church, partnering for bigger city issues, and then we've also got to think about, what's your neighborhood like? How can you live as a missionary in your neighborhood and help reach out to people who might not have any other people who know the Lord in their lives? How can you have a long-term impact right in your neighborhood, right in your sphere of influence, whether that's at work or at home? And we're going to talk more about that in 2 weeks. So come back for that, and that will be great. But I just want to talk about what that looks like. So local impact right around Eastbrook and partnering for bigger city issues. You know, a pastor, a friend of mine in Chicago says, "As we dream big and start small, I believe there is a strong need for concentrated action in small pockets of the city in order to achieve greater impact." And so if all the churches across Milwaukee really focused on the neighborhood right around their church, we really could begin to see some long-term transformation in the city of Milwaukee. And so that's our strategic plan to reach the city. And so here's my question: what's your role to play in our neighborhood and city? Think about what God is calling you to do as we think about the issues in our neighborhood and city. You know, I love to think about the fact that this is our time to be the church. This is our time to be the church. And this is my coffee mug. And when I'm not guzzling coffee out of it, I leave it empty on my desk to remind me that this is our time to be the church. You see, I love to think about the passage in Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, when God says, I know your deeds to the church in Laodicea. And he says, you're neither hot or cold. And I wish you were either one or the other because you're lukewarm. And it's just so repulsive when churches aren't on fire for the Lord and following him with everything they've got. And so that's part of why we come to church on Sunday, is to just get our cups topped off with piping hot goodness from God's word that will keep us excited about following God for the rest of the week and serving in our neighborhood and city. You see, I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to lose heart, and I don't want to lose hope, and I don't want to give up on our neighborhood right around our church, and I don't want to give up on the city of Milwaukee. You see, people who come long after us, they can give up on the city of Milwaukee, but I want to stand with God and with Nehemiah and say, God is not done with the city of Milwaukee yet. Not while we serve a mighty God who is in the business of restoring lives and families and communities that have been devastated for too long. And not while we still serve the same God of the Old Testament who loves to grab a hold of the hearts of his people, ordinary people, and use them to do amazing things for his glory. That's the kind of God we serve, and nothing about that has changed since the time of Nehemiah. And I believe that each one of us has a vital role to play in that process. So what's your role to play? Well, first of all, I think we can look right to Nehemiah. What did he do? What did Nehemiah do? I think that the first thing we all need to do is get on our knees. And so my question is God calling you to pray for the city of Milwaukee and for the neighborhood right around Eastbrook Church? And I hope and pray he is. You see, nothing is going to be accomplished if we don't first seek out the Lord and get on our face before him and pray for the great needs of our city and for the needs of our neighborhood. So is God calling you to fast and pray, maybe even for the rest of this month? You know, we've got several ways to help you do that. The first one, every month we produce a prayer calendar. And you might notice that the central column has prayer requests for our city. And if nothing else, would you take this month and pray through these requests in a focused way and lift up the needs of our city as we continue this series. And then pray about what God would have you do. And then maybe you can go out into the lobby by the big display panel and pick up one of these. It has a summary of all of our local neighborhood ministries and different ways you can pray for those and get involved. So pick up one of these maybe before you leave and start praying through that. If we don't pray, then all of our efforts are just going to be fruitless. But if we do pray, God can use us in mighty ways. Maybe the second thing God is calling you to do is not just pray, but get involved here at Eastbrook. Join forces with us and really contribute to what God is doing in our local neighborhood here around the church. You know, like I said, if you pick up one of these, if you feel called to really serve at Eastbrook in one of the local outreach ministries, just pick up one of these and jump into one of these things. You know, so many of these ministries really only need people to serve just a couple hours a month. And just think about this. I was doing some math last night, and I'm not very good at math, but I thought about if from all of our services this weekend, if we had 300 people from all of the services just give 3 hours a month to serve in our local ministries, that would be 900 hours of impact in our neighborhood each and every month. Can you imagine that? Just 300 people give up 3 hours of time in their month, and God could multiply that into 900 hours of impact in our neighborhood. So maybe God is calling you to get involved. And then finally, maybe you're sitting there thinking, you know what, I'm already engaged at Eastbrook. I'm already serving in children's ministry or somewhere else, and I'm already a part of things. To you guys, I just say, you know, thank you so much for participating in what God is doing in our church and in our city. You know, in so many ways, we stand on the shoulders of the folks who have served for years and decades at Eastbrook Church, and we couldn't do the things that we are doing without you guys. And so thank you so much for serving. You know, another key opportunity, if you really have a heart for our neighborhood, we've got a neighborhood ministry team, and we do a lot of stuff to reach out right in our surrounding communities. I'd invite you to join our neighborhood ministry team meeting that meets July 13th during third hour upstairs in room 224. If you really have a heart for our neighborhood, join us for that. We're going to have some things to say, and we'll kind of get you up to speed on what we're doing to reach the neighborhood. So in all those ways, maybe God is calling you to pray, and I really hope he is, guys, because if we don't consistently pray that to God for the hope and renewal of our city, then it's not going to happen. And then maybe God is calling you to get involved. Pick up a pamphlet out there if that's the case and pray about what you would do to jump in with us as God is working in our neighborhood and city. And then finally, I just want to say thank you. If you've been serving for years, thank you so much and continue the good work. Jeremiah 29, verse 7 is out there on the big wall right next to this handout. It says this, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have called you. Pray to the Lord for it, because if the city prospers, you too will prosper." Let's just remember that as we think about the response that Nehemiah had to reaching his city. He got on his knees, he prayed to the Lord, he confessed his sin, and he sought God's plan for the city, and then he moved forward to take calculated action. So my question to you this morning is just this: what's your role to play in our neighborhood and in our city? Let's close in prayer. Lord, would you meet us here this morning and throughout the rest of this month as we focus in on the big city, Lord, and even in our neighborhood right around Eastbrook Church. Father, would you lead us to come before you in prayer, Lord, to get on our knees even for the next month to pray for our city in special ways. And then, Father, would you forgive us of our sin, and would you show us how we can get involved, how we can jump in and serve you even in small ways and maybe in big ways to impact our neighborhood and city. Father, help us to let go of our plans if we need to, so that we can embrace and do your plan, Lord, because that's the plan we want to do. And Father, give us the courage and the conviction to follow you as you lead us to rebuild our neighborhood and city. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.